Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Clones, what's going on? Welcome to the Daily Jungle. Lots of show today, and in fact, a huge day for you clones. Salt Lake City went all in on the Clippers. Remember Jeff and Middleton? Probably not. But he reminded us of who he was, and he called for the first time like in 7 years, and actually tried to take a run at Mike and Indy. That was a bad idea, because Mike and Indy went Mike and Indy. We've got that for you. Also, we had three excellent guests, Washington Capitol winger T.J. Oshie, Colorado Rockies manager Bud Black, and Bleacher Report's Mike Freeman. Alvin, get this thing started. Clips gonna clip, and they're gonna clip at the worst possible time. Game 5. At home, tied up at 2 games apiece with a chance to regain control of that series before heading back to Utah, but they go into the tank yet again.
Jazz by 4. Inbound to Paul. Trapped in the backcourt. Down on the ground. Paul won't get it off. The Jazz have won Game 5 in L.A. and have taken a 3-2 lead over the L.A. Clippers.
Jazz Radio. Before I give you my thoughts on this, I need to hear from you, Jazz fan, because I know you're out there. I know you're out there. I know you're listening, and you got to be thrilled. You're up 3-2. You're coming home with a chance to drive a stake right through them. Jazz fan, we've been together a long time now. This show has been on in Salt Lake City for a long time now. You know where to find me. Why are you not talking about this? You have not been in this situation in a long time. Same with you, Clipper fan, although you're in this situation all the time. You know where to find me, too. Because the fact of the matter is, it does not look good for the Clips. They've got to head back to a hostile barn in Salt Lake. It doesn't look good because they don't look good. Doesn't look good because the team that wins Game 5 of a best-of-7 series that's knotted up at 2 games apiece wins 82% of the time. 82% of the time, and again, they're going back to Salt Lake, and that is not an easy place to play. Doesn't look good because without Blake Griffin, the Clips simply do not match up. Never mind beating Golden State, they're not beating the Jazz. Not without Griffin, not when Doc Rivers has to go small to compensate for the loss of Blake Griffin. And not when they're getting abused on the boards because of it and getting killed late with a couple of offensive boards going to the Jazz. And most of all, not when the Jazz are imposing their will on the Clippers, dictating tempo and slowing things down. They're making the Clippers play the way they want to play and not vice versa. So if it sounds like I'm saying that they're not coming back for a Game 7, it's because I'm saying they're not coming back for a Game 7. And whatever you do, don't ask Chris Paul about a potential Game 7. This reporter did, and it did not go well for him.
Chris, will the Clippers be back here Sunday playing a Game 7?
What?
Your feeling about, you know, your level of confidence that you'll be back here again.
What you think? I'm on the team. What you want me to say? Nah, it's over. I mean, that's what you want to hear? Yes. Come on, man. You've been doing this long enough. Seriously, right?
If you can expand upon that.
No, I don't know. Everybody in here laughing for a reason. Come on, man.
Awkward?
Awkward?
Can you expand upon this? Nah, I'm good. Nah. Look, I know why this guy's so bent. I know why Chris Paul is so bent. He just played his ass off again and has next to nothing to show for it again. Not the sharpest question ever, but that's not what Paul is so upset about. He's bent because he's about to go down in the first round again and miss the conference finals again. Bent that he's got to do it all by himself again. Bent that despite being a Hall of Famer, he rocks an embarrassing postseason resume, and it's really not even his fault. Fact is, this crew does not play well together. Well, that is when Blake Griffin isn't hurt and they actually have a chance to play together. But when they do, the pieces, the chemistry is off, and this is why they keep getting hammered in the postseason. So unless Chris Paul, and he might be able to now, unless he can pull together another 38-point game out of his backside and get the rest of them on his back to get it back here for a Game 7, they're a game away from what should be an inevitable rebuild. Because they really aren't that close, and they really aren't getting any better, just older. 6 years into it, and they really have nothing more than a ton of regular season wins and shattered dreams to show for it. So break it up, put it back together. because as currently constructed, this crew simply is not going to win jack. The pieces don't fit, the chemistry's all wrong, their mojo is whack. And as you might imagine, Doc Rivers is not giving up on this crew. Not going forward, and certainly not in Game 6. Doc said, quote, "There were a lot of things that I did like about the game, and there were a lot of things that I didn't. I think they're all fixable," end quote. Better be. Better be. Because if not, there are a lot of guys who are going to be fireable. Jeff in Middletown, Ohio. Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
What's up, Rome?
What's up, Jeff?
All right, now I'm going to tell you how you can place that. Jeff in Middletown is the guy back in 2010 that reminded your boy Israel in L.A. that I was Bill Russell when he was Jamarcus. Jeff in Middletown is the ferocious one. I'm a winner, Rome. I already told you. I come from the land of Chris Carter and Jerry Lucas and Kayla Harrison, the gold medalist. You know, and I told you about Kyle Schwarber and Jalen Marshall and Vince Carter. Edwards, who played next to Caleb Swanigan way back in 2010. But the main reason I'm calling, Rome, is because, see, I called back when it was the jungle, baby. And then I hear this guy, and he sounds like the girl from American Pie with the upper voice inflection. And I'm thinking, man, who am I listening to? And then my man said, oh, this is the Rome Show. And I say, oh, man, it's somebody turning the jungle into the petting zoo. Because, see, it's funny on the day when y'all talking about Chris Paul being a bum, that the guy that coined the phrase La Bum James is here to talk about a bum from Indianapolis. Now, I called him Mark because he was a Mark to me. But then dude corrected me, said his name is Mike. What I don't like about Mike is, Rome, you allowing him to turn the jungle into the petting zoo. I mean, I'm a ferocious lion, man. Dude a lamb. So I couldn't help but destroy him. Because, see, we can't even talk about Chris Paul. Dude like Patrick Beverly on O and Melo on D. And I'm like the whole Golden State Warriors. Because I spray you like Clay. I spray you like Steph. I blow by you and dunk on you like Durant. And I bully you like I'm Draymond, baby. And I'm trying to be calm, Rome, because I'm out here enjoying this beautiful weather, my landscaping business, making this money, blowing the hippie lettuce, relaxing. And then dude just take me out my zone with that weakness. So, Rome, to remind him again, I am from the land of the winners. I hang with winners. You can get Chris Carter on the line right now. And you can say, do you know a Jeff in Middletown, Ohio? Jeff Pringle. You have to use the last name because Pringle is what they call me, baby. But what I'm saying is the whole city know me and the whole state know me because we produce nothing but winners.
Hey, Jeff, and now the entire world knows you. Jeff in Middletown. I knew that guy because you don't forget a guy like that. My man, that Mike in Indy that turned the jungle into a petting zoo, that brought Mike in Indy back. So that's where I'm going right now. Mikey, what's going on?
Hey, you know when it's time to break format, Romy. Obviously, I got to come at Jerry in Ohio, who might have lost his damn mind. Don't roll up in here with some kitty cat takes, then call the jungle a petting zoo. Jerry, if you want to come correct, you can start by picking up all those names you just dropped. Nobody cares who you met in an autograph line. I'm glad to hear your landscaping business is going well, though, because that's the only bullshit you've seen since you last called 7 years ago.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
No, you didn't. Mike. Mike in Indy. Man, that was so Mike. That was so... That was so Mike. TJ Oshie is my guest. TJ, it's been about a year, but it's good to have you back. How are you?
Yeah, it's great to be back. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you back, bud. Thanks so much. You beat Toronto in 6 games, all of which were one-goal games, 5 of which went into overtime. That ties an NHL record. So what did that series in grinding out all those tight games say about the mental and physical toughness of your team?
Well, I think each game, our mental toughness and our resolve got a little bit stronger. And I think that's a very important part of your game that you need in the playoff time. So as a series went on and the closer the games got, it seemed like the more comfortable we got in those tight games. And I imagine there's going to be some tight ones against Pittsburgh.
No doubt. I thought your coach, Barry Trotz, made a pretty interesting point when he said that Toronto really had nothing to lose. You guys had everything to lose. So in a sense, it might have been easy for that pressure to get to the team. And maybe, possibly in years past, it may have. I mean, do you feel like there's a different attitude, mentality around this year's team versus last year's team?
Yeah, I think there is. I think last year, especially rolling into playoffs with the lead we had in the regular season for the President's Trophy, I think there was just a little, I don't want to say cockiness, but maybe we were a little lackadaisical and thought that maybe it was going to come a little easier to us. And once we played against Pittsburgh and even in the series against Philly, it didn't really come that easy. And I think this year, this time around, we're not taking anything for granted. And we're ready to roll.
Clones, while I've got your attention, I've got to get at you for a moment about Ferguson. Ferguson helps facilities pros by supplying innovative and reliable products. But what Ferguson really offers are solutions. Ferguson has a dedicated team of facilities experts, and with nationwide coverage, we deliver directly to your facility right when you need them. Plus, Ferguson's broad inventory of maintenance, repair, and operations products, along with plumbing, HVAC, and appliances, sets Ferguson apart from traditional facility suppliers. So learn more about how Ferguson Facility Supply can help your facility at Ferguson.com today. That's Ferguson. Don't forget it. Now it's back to the Daily Jungle. TJ Oshie joining us. Now, you lead the team in points, or led the team in points in the first round. Alex Ovechkin had 3 goals. Nicholas Backstrom had 2 goals and 4 assists. So how much pride do you take in the fact that your line is playing its best when it matters most?
Yeah, we take a lot of pride in that, and I think that's something that goes along with being in the role on our team in that first line is in the important games, you got to show up and you got to lead by example. And I think so far we've done a pretty decent job at doing that, and we got to continue that into the series against Pittsburgh, playing against obviously some very high talented and very some of the best players in the world. There's going to be some key matchups there, us against Crosby, and I think it's going to be important to win that matchup in that game within the game against their line.
Now, you're in your second season with that team now. Since coming over in a trade from St. Louis, you had a career high 33 goals this season. But coming into a team and joining a line with Ovechkin and Backstrom is not necessarily easy. What was it like at first, and what's it like now that you've had a couple of seasons together?
Well, definitely at first, there's a little bit of an intimidation factor. Like I just said a moment ago for Pittsburgh, we have a couple of the best players in the world on our team. I think one of the best natural passers in the game and 200-foot centerman in Nicky, and then obviously probably the best goal scorer of our era in Ovi. So it was a little intimidating, and you know, I almost felt right when I got here that I had to get those guys the puck as quick as I could. And when I got the puck, I was looking for number 8, no matter where he was, and I was just going to throw it to that area. And now that I've been here a while, I realized that how much attention that O draws to himself. And so I kind of had to become more of a shooter, which people have told me that a lot in the past, that I got to shoot more. And it just had to happen for us to have success at the line. And I think that's why you saw my goal totals go up, because O draws so much attention and Nicky's so good at passing that I just had to find myself in some scoring areas. And luckily for me and fortunately for the line, some of those have been hitting the back of the net.
TJ Oshie joining us. You know, it's well said. You know, there's something about the team, too. If you go back to early December, the team led Boston in a game 3-0. And then he gave up 3 straight goals before Backstrom scored the game winner in overtime. And then afterwards, the players had a closed-door meeting, and you spoke in that meeting. I'm not going to ask you what was said, but you said that what happened in that meeting gave the team a huge boost. So how did that impact the team going forward?
I think there's just, for us, there's so much expectations on ourselves. And like I said before, last year it didn't really come easy to us, but there was a lot of situations where we had some big timely goals in certain moments of game, or the power play was good, and it almost kind of shielded some of the hardships that we had, and made it look like that we were just rolling and everything seemed easy for us. And then this year, it wasn't really coming that easy, and I think we forgot how hard we had to work to get to the position we were the year before. And I think just when you hear your teammates speak from the heart and see how much guys care about the organization and just each other and how much we want to win, you just kind of, you've almost reset. Mentally, you reset a little bit to focus in on the things that are really important from a shift-to-shift mentality. And when you see guys that care like that, I think it elevates your game. It just takes, you know, those couple percentages of each player to elevate their game that makes the team look a lot better and that makes the team go a lot better. So I think that's what we got from that meeting. And guys took it to heart.
TG, I know you're locked in because somebody's blowing you up during this interview and you haven't even skipped a beat. You haven't blinked. All those texts coming in, whatever it is, you have not skipped a beat, so I know you're locked in. A lot of credit for that. Listen, before you go, you've got that rematch against Pittsburgh, and last year's series went six games, three of them to overtime, only one game decided by more than one goal. So is there anything you can take away from last year and apply to this year, or do you just look at it as, there it goes again, as a new year or two different teams facing each other?
Just in my defense, this is the PR guy's cell phone, so my phone will be blown up like this.
Like I said, man, you're owning it. Mike Freeman is my guest. Mike, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, I've made a really awful mistake. I have to confess to you something.
Yeah, what's new, Mike? Every time I talk to you, you've made a truly awful mistake.
No, this is really bad. I actually wrote the following words. The Browns may have a good draft.
Whoa. Run that back. Back that up. Walk that back.
And not only did I say the Browns may have a good draft, I said this draft is almost impossible for them to screw up. So this is easily the dumbest thing of many dumb things I've ever said.
NFL national lead writer for Bleacher Report, Mike Freeman. I want to reestablish that connection. All right, Mike, so is this the year the Browns finally get it right? It sounds like you think it is.
I have a Browns phone. yes. Yeah. If I think there's a good chance, Jim, they're going to walk away with Garrett and Trubisky. I think that's probably going to happen. Now, look, is Trubisky this great prospect? We all know what his weaknesses are. But have you seen the Browns play quarterback recently? Have you looked at their roster? So if they can walk away with him, there's some hope there. And I think Garrett is obviously a really, really talented player. And here's the thing. They got the first pick overall and the 12th pick. Most people I talk to in the league think this draft, in terms of true impact players, is about 15 players deep. They got two of those. Now, look, this is the same franchise that picked Johnny Manziel. I get that, Jim, and I can hear you laughing. I know it. And I can hear
I'm not even laughing. I'm just laughing. In shock. I'm speechless.
So I get it, but I do think they have a chance to really get it right this time, and it's kind of, even for the Browns, how can they screw this up? Even them.
Right.
Two picks.
Right.
Top 12. How can this can't happen, Jim. They can't screw it up again. Not this time. This time, I believe, I want you to believe, I want everyone listening to believe. You have millions of listeners. If we all believe, it can happen.
Dude, why are you so invested with the Browns? I mean, who cares, really? But
I want them to stop sucking. They have to stop sucking, right?
Hey, Mike, you know on this show that saying something sucks is not a take, right? Especially for somebody as esteemed as you. You are a national lead writer for Bleacher Report. That is not a take. Something sucks.
Jim,
anything.
Jim, I am saying I have empathy at a time
since when?
Where there is no empathy. I want the Browns to finally turn it around because I feel for their fans. I feel for that city. I want them to win.
Preach, Michael. Preach. Preach, Michael. Preach. Since when do you give a damn about the fans in the city of that town or the fans of that city and that town?
Because,
since when?
Because it's reached a ridiculous point of just total horrible suckiness, and it's time to turn it around. It's time. It's just time to finally.
It was time a decade ago. It is time, and it was time a decade ago, but I see it working, Mike. I get it. I really do. And believe me, the NFL is better when the Browns are relevant and when the Browns are good. If, in fact, they've ever been good, it is better. I think you're right. I think this is one they cannot screw up.
Yes.
Now, you make your point. We'll see what happens. Around the league, you've got the Patriots. They do not have a first-round pick. How likely is it that the first round goes by without the Pats moving up to take somebody?
They are – people in football really expect them to make some kind of move. They're always very active on the draft. They usually move around a lot, trade down a lot, accumulate picks. That's sort of their philosophy. It's a smart philosophy. They always know what they're doing. They're very good. But I do think people think they're going to trade into the bottom of the first round. But they're right now so loaded, they may not have to. And they can just sort of that roster is so deep and just obviously got Tom Brady, but just at every other position they're doing really well. So this may be the one year that they don't have to do a lot of moving around. They can just kind of sit pat and see what happens, because there's still, I mean, this team is set up for the next 3-4 years to be very, very dominant. So they can maybe be able to just kind of sit back and wait and see what happens.
Mike Freeman is an NFL national lead writer for Bleacher Report. You know, Mike, a team to watch in the draft is the Titans. They've got a couple of picks in the first round, number 5, number 18. One AFC head coach told you recently that by the time next season is over, Marcus Mariota will be, quote, viewed as a top 5 quarterback, maybe even top 3 or 4, end quote. Look, this guy is improving. He's improving quickly. But do you expect him to be that good that soon?
Well, it would be a tremendous leap, obviously. But they are poised to sort of do something pretty significant. He is, you know, coming off a really bad injury, but he's a quick learner, a really good athlete, getting better at throwing the ball, better with accuracy. They're starting to also build the team around him. And that's the thing, Jim. You pointed out about the Titans in this draft. They got some. They're in position to get some good players. But overall, when you look at what they're doing over the past couple of years, they're advancing pretty quickly. And if he didn't get hurt last year, there's a good chance they would have won the division. So they are, I think, a team to really watch out for. And he is, because he's a borderline special player. And people who watch him know him think the same thing. So I do think there's a chance that he takes a huge leap like next year.
Mike Freeman joining us. Mike, Marshawn Lynch tweeted this morning, quote, "It's time," along with a message that he's coming back to Oakland. What do you think about that move for the Raiders? And is there any way of knowing exactly what he's got left in the tank?
It's hard to tell because we just haven't seen him. And he's been being Marshawn. He's been doing other things. We haven't seen him working out. We haven't seen him obviously practicing. We haven't seen him do anything. If there's a guy though, Jim, that could kind of just come back in and quickly sort of pick up where he left off, it's him. He's a violent runner, and I mean that in the most positive way. And it's not like that takes this great deal of practice, but we don't know. We don't know what his conditioning is. We don't know what he's been doing. So that will be the big thing. When he shows up and they start running and they start hitting, what will it be like? But my guess is he's such a veteran. He knows what he's doing. He's gonna be okay. And that is it's a perfect fit to me for the Raiders. I know that he's 32, I think. He's older, and we know how backs are when they get into their 30s. But he's been gone, so he's rested. And it's a perfect situation for him and for the Raiders.
Jazz by 4. Inbound to Paul. Trapped in the backcourt. Down on the ground. Paul won't get it off. The Jazz have won Game 5 in L.A. and have taken a 3-2 lead over the L.A. Clippers.
Up 3-2 with a chance to finish, and Salt Lake fans coming back. So, to make my point, I want to take some telephone calls from Salt Lake. Let's go to Zach in Salt Lake. Good to have you on, Zach. What's up?
From the top down, Jim, Steve Ballmer and Chris Paul need to share some Wham burgers and some French fries. This series is over, and I'll be there on Friday night with the wildest fans. I'm going to have my Gordon Hayward haircut fresh to death, watch my boy Iso Joe back down Crawford for the millionth time. More my Jazz getting that championship that Jordan pushed off and stole from us. Take note.
Go ahead and rack him. All right, Zach, have a great game. Make sure you have your Gordon Hayward haircut fresh and ready. So it seems to me the Jazz fan hates the Clippers almost as much as Jazz fan loves their own team. Let's keep going. Back to back to back. Another Salt Lake call. Gary in Salt Lake City. Hey, Gary, how are you?
Rome, let me tell you what's wrong with those bitches in Los Angeles. The Clips are done. It was the dynasty that never happened. CP3, DeAndre Blake, they're done. Doc's getting out coached by Quinn. They are all getting fired next year, and they're going to try and rebuild. Blake's going to go to Oklahoma. It's a mess there, and it's all due to the power of the Jazz. I got to go, but I am enjoying watching the games with my 3 wives and my 14 kids. But a couple of my kids are crying right now, so let me get out. Go Jazz.
See you later, Gary. He made my point, didn't he? Did the guy not just make my point? He said, let me tell you about those bitches in Los Angeles. I thought that Jazz fan was classy. You know, Salt Lake City, classy. These calls were all starting with, let me tell you about those bitches in LA. Let's stay right there in Salt Lake. This time we go to Cole. Hey, Cole, what's up?
Yo, Romy, can I just say it's a great time to be a Jazz fan because on Friday we get to send these whiny, underachieving punks into their inevitable offseason implosion. And even State Farm can't ensure that. And Doc, or should I say Don Rivers, pretending he doesn't know Gordon Hayward's name, this epitomizes the disrespect these clowns have shown us all series. Well, Don, you better learn his name because on Friday he will be sending you and your son into unemployment. War Coach Q is Coach of the Year. Rack me. I'm out.
See ya, Cole. I'm not going to rack you, but it's good. It's good enough. You talked about Doc Rivers being unemployed. Somebody's going to be, if not unemployed, then displaced. Weak take, Lake? Great take, Lake. Strong take, Lake. What the hell? Why not? Let's go back there again. Fourth call this segment from Salt Lake City. Rob, nice to have you, Rob. How are you?
Jim, I'm great. Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to The Jungle for 20 years since I was a kid. This is my first time calling, man. When Vince Mann asked, I answer. I think the best part of this whole thing is that look on Steve Ballmer's face. He's looking, what did I get myself into? As far as the Jazz go, they're clearly the better team in the series. They've got more depth, more talent. You look at their stat line, they put up double-digit scoring with six players versus the Clippers three. The Clippers have no shot in Game 6, and I look forward to seeing that face on Steve Ballmer's face one more time. I'm out.
All right, Rob, thank you very much. Salt Lake, keep them coming. They're all good calls. They're all good calls. I saw that same look on Ballmer's face. I don't know what was the worst look, that or that T-shirt over that business shirt. I want to lay that out, but I want to end this hour with a phone call because it's been such a strong hour for phone calls. You got to play the hot hand. You got to play the hot hand. Let's go to Mike in Little Rock. Mike, you made it in. What's up, Mike?
You know, I stepped on you almost every time you've let me on, Rome, so I was actually going to wait a minute and see what you had to say.
Nice.
So,
go ahead.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for the vine, man. It is raining Skittles in the jungle, buddy. I know you haven't got to your Lynch take yet, but if you don't mind, I just want to kind of bring something to the table. We've got confirmed, you know, as long as the physical goes well, we got confirmed 2-year deal, and they're going to spend 2 more years in Oakland. And how perfect is that, man? Lynch should have been a Raider the whole time. I don't even understand what this delay has even been. Playing in Seattle, what? You know, I'm just going to move right past that. They're offering this cat $3 million, an additional 2 if he puts up the numbers. And let me tell you something, the Nation is super fired up about it. You can tell by all the retweets that you just mentioned. The Nation is absolutely rallying around Lynch, and it is epic. I'm really not concerned about this move at all. You know what I am concerned about, though? The Saints. Look, man, I like the Saints. I'm not like a huge Saints fan, but, you know, they're a good team. And I think it's going to take a whole lot more than a running back that nobody wants to get the job done, man. Speaking of getting the job done, I want to move on. I'm going to go ahead and do this. Wah, wah. That's my hockey buzzer, man. Edmonton versus Ducks tonight. Look, Edmonton, can you please just go home? What you're doing to your people right now is like dangling a big-eyed puppy in front of a 5-year-old. You're just going to jerk it away. Nobody's going to get to pet the puppy. It's been 11 years since you guys seen a playoff. Why don't you go sit down and take another 11 years to think about it? Because all you're doing right now is giving the dirt people another reason to be depressed. Romy, that's all I've really got. Oh, no, wait. Wait, didn't some chump in Hollywood drop my name the other day? Mark, let me lay something out for you, bro. Calling me out doesn't do anything except for speak to your relevance in the jungle. Dude, I'm nobody, okay? I've got one racked phone call. I got run a while back for glossing myself as the nooch. Who am I? I'm nobody. I'm a small fish in this big old pond. But what you just did, bro, was you just gave me enough food to become a big fish, evolve into a shark. And I smell blood, and I am coming for you, Mark. It is on. Rome, the only reason you don't hear from a clown like Mark whenever...
Thanks, Nooch. Now you're done. And no, so is hour number two. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you. Now hit subscribe, tell a friend, and trust the podcast. Check back tomorrow for more Daily Jungle. We'll bring it then. We're out.
Because that's the only bush...